The following program is brought to you by Tim Elins and Paul Edwards.
Welcome to Left, Right, and You with liberal columnist Jeff Ward and conservative public policy activist Alan Skillicorn on WRMN 1410. They're talking current events, politics, local, state, and federal. Your phone calls are always welcome at 847-931-1410, 847-931-1410. Now here's Jeff Ward and Alan Skillicorn and Left, Right, and You.
Welcome to the March 19th edition of Left, Right, and You. Alan, you're back.
Absolutely, I'm back.
I thought you had finally come to terms with the fact that you could not beat me in a left-right argument and head flood to Florida permanently.
Yeah, more delusion from Jeff Ward.
But yes, I'm glad you're back. And a big thanks to our good friend Jeff Berkowitz for filling in last week. He gave me a little scare showing up a little late, but... You know, I proved I can carry the show without you, which there was never any doubt about that.
Yeah,
anyway.
Jeff's probably listening right now. So,
He's still here, by the way. He isn't late from last week. So he's still looking for reception.
Two more things we ought to cover briefly. One, it's early voting time, Elgin and Aurora. Voting time.
Did it start today?
No. Okay. Let me be more specific. I figured I'd say it's early voting time to get them to freak out, and then maybe by Monday they'd actually do it. Monday, early voting starts on Monday. You could go to the Kane County Clerk's office, my place of employment, and vote right now. But it starts, the big stuff starts Monday. But in Batavia, you know, in the city of Elgin at the Fraternal Order of Eagles, I mean, city of St. Charles at Sun City, Huntley, Dundee Township, the Homestead in Batavia, you know, go to the Kane County Clerk's website. It'll tell you all the early voting places.
Yeah, because it's not going to be at your normal voting place for most people. Some people it will be, but for most people it won't be. And here is another thing, is that you can vote anywhere in Kane County early voting. So let's say you live in Elgin, but you work in Batavia or Geneva or something. Yeah. You could actually stop in and vote right then and there.
Absolutely. And the great thing, and remember, God punished Elginians for not voting early last time with a big snowstorm.
You know, that's why you didn't get the Pope nomination.
Well, we'll get into that sometime. Also, another bit of big news. Elgin? I have Elgin on the mind. All those signs I saw about the Elgin rain tax on my wing, and apparently not a lot of Elginians are for it. Left, Right, and You is moving.
We're moving over like one chair, or
no?
Are you coming over to my side?
No, we're moving to Dave's house. We're going to do a podcast. No, we are moving to Thursdays. All right. So this week we're doing a Tuesday show. We're going to do a Thursday show, but next week they'll rerun our Thursday show on Tuesday, and we'll be here on Thursday. But Left, Right, and You is moving to Thursdays at the same time.
So we should clarify that today is Tuesday the 19th. So if you're listening to the podcast, it doesn't change you.
Yeah.
But if you're listening to the I mentioned TuneIn last week, TuneIn.com. If you go to the WRMN website and listen there, or listen to the WRMN app on your phone, you know that changes too. But so if you're going to listen in to Left, Right, and You, it's not going to be on Thursdays, not Tuesdays. So this is a big move for us. You know, they had the upper pay a little bit, but that worked out fine. We're gonna be on twice this week because we're gonna be on today.
Right.
And we're also gonna be on the 21st, which is Thursday. So again, you know, podcasts, you can download more of our shows now.
Right.
Listeners, I guess in a week or two we're leaning off of this Tuesday thing, going 100% Thursdays, and we're gonna own the Thursday afternoon market.
That's right. WIND, forget them, WGN, they're nothing. It's going to be Jeff and Alan staging the equivalent of a radio coup. So, yes, we're moving. Got that out of the way. And our topics du jour, Alan, we want to talk about, what the Sun-Times is doing to their poor staff and how they excoriate any other company that behaved the way they behaved.
I mean, there's another paper other than the Tribune in Chicagoland.
Yeah, I know it's hard to believe. Elgin, Elgin's having a little fracas with a mobile ultrasound unit, and hopefully,
I think Vivian Maley,
that's right,
from TLC, is going to be calling in today. So if you're a candidate or if you're one of the current city council people, you should listen in and see, you know, the actual TLC side of it.
Actually, I believe I think Noel Sterrett actually is calling in.
I think it's going to be both of them.
Both of them. Okay.
Yes.
Then Mr. Sterrett is on the line.
Okay.
Oh, well, why don't we go right to that?
Well, I was thinking, why don't we wait for Vivian?
Why don't we wait for Vivian?
Because Jeff isn't done with his segment yet. Well, here, explain what we're going to do.
And then
we're very organized.
We're
here.
Very, very organized. And then we're going to talk.
Let's do this over again.
We're going to take one. Is this live? Then we're going to talk about the CPAC conference and that, you know, Sarah Palin holding up her big gulp like the Statue of Liberty. But the truth is, Alan,
I am kind of thirsty.
The truth is that though I don't always agree with Mayor Bloomberg, especially in his reaction to the Occupy Wall Street, but obesity is just another form of socialism, and we'll get to that as well.
Sure, and, you know, CPAC news, well, I guess we're going to have a friend of mine, Charlie Kirk's going to be in a couple of weeks, okay. And he spoke at CPAC, so...
And yes, as Dave's wonderful promo said, I feel like, you know, when I read about the CPAC conference, I think we ought to start calling Republicans Whigs because that's about where they're going into history's dustpan. But back to the Sun-Times, and, you know, this is something near and dear to my heart because, as you know, I toiled for the Sun-Times Media Network for about 8 years. And part of the reason I left is the way they were treating some of their employees. And on Friday, last Friday, the X fell on some really good people because the Sun-Times, what the Sun-Times is trying to do, they're basically trying to eliminate the suburban newspapers, but they don't want to admit anything's bad because they're either these idiots are trying to find a buyer or they're trying to, you know.
Well, I heard a rumor last week that they were thinking about buying the Chicago Tribune.
They're not paying any of their $70 million a year to the Tribune for printing. See, the Sun-Times is printed by the Tribune,
okay.
So I don't know if you're trying to buy them. I mean, that might be a way to save money to buy them, but...
Well, maybe it might be for their facilities.
Yeah, but,
well, here, see, you have more of an inside knowledge right. of newspapers than myself or Dave or our listeners, and you mentioned local newspapers, and I know right. that there's a lot of local newspapers that you see the reporters and their email addresses are at suntimes.com
right.
or something like that. Right. So... You know, I don't know this answer. What is that relationship like? So the Sun-Times produces papers for the local
right.
markets
well,
also?
Well, the Sun-Times, you know...
Like any specific ones?
The Beacon
ones we
News,
might know?
The Courier News.
So the Courier, like, I think of Elgin Courier News, okay.
Southtown Star. Those were all purchased by the Sun-Times years ago. I want to say from Paddock Publications, to be honest with you. And so the Sun-Times owns those, but what they're doing is they're cannibalizing those papers while barely keeping them afloat. Because this way they can spread Sun-Times expenses between seven or eight newspapers. They also want to be able to say they have a bigger circulation than the Tribune. So as they gut these papers, their latest play was to try to get all the Sun-Times Media West people to quit. And what they did is they basically said, look, we're going to consolidate. If you want to keep your job, you got to come to downtown Chicago. And for many people out in Elgin or Aurora, that's a four-hour commute down to the building on the river. What the Sun-Times didn't count on, Alan, was that everybody would they were so willing to keep their jobs, they made the trip. See, they want people to quit so they don't have to lay them off. And if they don't have to lay them off, they don't have to pay
unemployment.
That's right. And now for those people that are making the four-hour commute down to the Sun-Times, they're putting them in a 2-foot by 2-foot cubicle workspace with their union brethren who see them as a massive threat because these non-union suburban folks make so much less money. So the Sun and I, by the way, I contacted...
And some of your former colleagues would be included in this, correct?
A lot of my former colleagues are gone. Tim Knight is the owner of Rapports, is the head of Rapports LLC, which owns the Sun-Times. He did not respond to my request for a call today. Jim Kirk, the publisher, failed to respond either because, you know, newspapers don't like when they're held to the same standard to which they hold the
people. I tried calling Irv Kupsnit, no answer.
Well,
you know, I think about this, like, well, what if we started our own center-right newspaper right. here in the suburbs? But you know what? I think the newspaper business is dated. And
yeah, it's done.
It's a market that's shrinking, not growing.
Right.
It provides a nice service. I think it really does. But the... You know, I think print media is dated, and unfortunately, I wish more people would read it, but it is dated, and it's a shrinking market.
It is, you know. And how does the joke go? You know, how can you make a small fortune in a shrinking market? Start out with a big fortune. But you know what? I'm going to really take a bold move here now, and some of your conservative friends might actually like this, because the Sun-Times is supposed to be a liberal newspaper. I'm saying cancel your subscription to the Sun-Times. These concerns that, first of all, the way they're treating their employees is unconscionable. And second, for real journalism, remember Jeff Berkowitz said, bad journalism chases out good. And for real journalism to flourish again, we need these crappy-ass papers to die off so something else can take their place.
Well, we definitely have a passion to have the Daily Herald.
We have the Daily Herald along with, which is...
Yeah, Daily Herald is, I believe, independent. Well,
yeah, but the Daily Herald is the best of the bunch. And I've had some very nice talks with Mike Smith, who's the Kane County editor. But, I mean, the Daily Herald doesn't even have a columnist. I mean, you know, how can you set yourselves apart? If you're just a news aggregator, anybody on the net can do that. So I don't see how the Daily Herald's going to survive.
So Daily Herald's like the Matt Drudge of the suburban Chicagoland.
In a sense, you know, I mean, they don't do a bad job. They
are what about the Illinois Review?
Don't get me started.
Well, I'm friends with Fran and Dennis over there at the Illinois Review.
What they did,
but they are more
Dennis Lacombe and Fran Eaton, right?
Yeah, they're more of a. I mean, they're an online blog, of course. And if people aren't familiar with IllinoisReview.com,
isn't that the next step? I mean, you know, once the physical papers.
Well, with advertisements, I believe it would be a blog format with advertisements. If you want to have paper, you know, content, you've got to have content that's worthwhile. You know, there's only, I think, two models that really work for the pay content. Mm-hmm. You know, that's Wall Street Journal and Investors Business Daily.
Yeah.
And because they have, well, they have great columns, and they have loads and loads of content. I don't know if they localized.
And newspapers haven't figured that out. When I was a columnist, I drew in people. But they don't want to have to deal with the kind of personality that draws in people. And it's really.
Are you saying that you're a bit nutty?
Well, I mean, if the listeners haven't figured that out by now, Alan, there's no hope for
them. Well,
the other problem with the business model is newspapers, in their inimitable wisdom, decided to give away content for free. So it's much harder for all the people trying to come up with a blog solution.
Well, that's why the advertisements on the website.
Right, and sadly, though, web advertising still pays about 1/7 of print advertising.
By the way, if you're turning in, well,
maybe
in that now,
they charge too much.
If you're tuning in now, you're listening to Left, Right, and You, Alan Skillicorn, Jeff Ward. If you'd like to find out more information about Left, Right, and You, there's two great websites. You can check out past shows, firstward.net, and Alan, is it alanskillicorn.com?
That's correct.
Okay, for more information about Left, Right, and You, which will be moving to Thursdays. Starting
What day is
week.
That again? Thursday?
Thursday.
Okay. Yes. Thursday. Before we bring in our guests, set the stage, Alan.
Well, okay, we're going to set the stage here, and we're going to bring on the people from TLC Pregnancy Services. Mm-hmm. And to give you an idea here, I can remember driving through Elgin and seeing this ultrasound bus, you know, parked along McLean. And, you know, it definitely wasn't an eyesore. And what brought my attention to this –
It was very quiet, too.
What brought my attention to this this whole thing is I saw it in Illinois Review. I saw an article posted about TLC and a zoning dispute. And I guess one of the city council members called the police chief here in Elgin. And, you know, what was reported was that they, you know, forced them out of that lot. And so we wanted to bring in straight from the horse's mouth the TLC to explain their side of things. And I have seen this bus, and it's no eyesore. I mean, it's – and I can't see a reason why not to have charities, you know, the bookmobile, right. Diabetes mobile,
although,
whatever.
Now, we do have to be a little careful because, you know, they do have to be concerned about mobile businesses taking away businesses that pay property taxes. However, Elgin supposedly came up with a solution, was supposed to allow this mobile ultrasound unit to come four times a year until this year when they said, sorry, no. So I do understand.
Yeah, we'll get it for the horse's mouth.
Right.
And I have some, you know, thoughts on that too. But I assume we have two guests on the line. I assume you can hear us, and then our listeners should really hear you. You want to tell us who you guys are?
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Noel Sterrett. I'm an attorney with Malkin Baker, and we've been assisting TLC Pregnancy Services and Vivian Malley, who I hope is on the line with us.
Are you there, Vivian?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
great. We can hear both of you. So can both of you kind of, you know, maybe Noel, you first, kind of the legal background of zoning and such, and then and Vivian, kind of your personal experience with this.
Yeah, no problem. The this was an unfortunate case because we tried to resolve this with the city last year. What happened was we got a call after TLC, its mobile facility was boarded by the chief of police, who said, you know, we're going to ask you to cease and desist your activity here. This was news to TLC, but apparently one of the city council members had called and requested the chief of police to stop by our mobile vehicle. And after that happened, TLC tried to look into what was going on, come to find out that Elgin had amended their zoning code, one that it treats our mobile vehicle as a temporary land use and requires us to obtain a permit, and we are obligated to have a consecutive days of our use. So in a given year, they point to the fact that you could use have a temporary land use up to 60 days, but they amended it to make it that the days have to be consecutive. Otherwise, your non-consecutive days count towards your limit of four uses per year. Since TLC is a charitable organization staffed by volunteers just giving their time, and since most property owners who support TLC probably don't want the vehicle on their lot every single day, TLC operates on non-consecutive days. So the effect of that is it leaves TLC in the lurch. It denies them the ability to provide the young women free access to free services and information. And so basically they're limited to four Tuesday afternoons a month at either the church's parking lot next to Larkin High School or JB's off of McLean Boulevard. So that's the upshot of it. What it does is it effectively prohibits TLC's mobile services in Elgin for, you know, over 300 some days a year. It renders it fairly much inoperable.
Vivian, this is Jeff Ward. I mean, is this an unintended, you know, collateral damage, an unintended consequence of a zoning law, or do you feel that the city of Elgin was singling you guys out?
Well, I know that other mobile units, medical mobile units, have parked in the city of Elgin, and I don't believe that they were restricted the way we are. Mm-hmm. So that's our concern.
Yeah, and as we were filing the complaint, it was running in the Tribune, just an advertisement for a Loyola's health vehicle. And they're all over, a lot of these are free services. These are not a commercial interest. Mm-hmm. The firm that Elgin hired to defend them in court compared it to the food truck kind of issue that we're dealing with here in Chicago. And Judge Dryagin
didn't see it that way.
He didn't buy it at all.
But not that I'm trying to get you in trouble with your lawyer, Vivian, but why would, as a kind of a, I mean, Alan thinks I'm a flaming liberal, and maybe I am, but I mean, it's funny, you know, I don't see Elgin as a conservative city, and it mostly Democratic. So I would think they would be all for, you know, somebody kind of providing these kind of services. Why do you think, without getting you in trouble, hopefully, why do you think Elgin targeted your mobile service?
I don't know. It's been a real problem and a concern, again, of ours. I have no answers for that, but I know Noel, our trusted attorney, has been taking this case, going forward with this case now, and we're trying to get everything resolved so that we can be back serving the women in the community the way we had in the past.
And that's good to hear. And specifically, you guys provide ultrasound services. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can probably get into the political conspiracy that I think might be going on behind the scenes a little bit later. But, Vivian, how many, you know, young women do you help in average year?
Well, again, going back to when we first hit the road, so to speak, when we first started providing mobile services in the community, I think we've served something like 200 women so far. Okay. And that was with being unable to operate in the city of Elgin from August until last week.
So it really did. So you were actually prevented from August up until last week to actually park in these parking lots.
On private property, correct, with the permission of the owners of the property.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it was during that time that we had discussions with Elgin It's not something that TLC ran to court about. The interest, obviously, just for TLC's concern, was to reach out to Elgin, say, this is how this is affecting us. You know, you guys know more about us, more than us, about the backstory to this, and, you know, we're piecing it together. Why did City Council Member Moeller give the Chief of Police a call? Why was the Chief of Police involved? You know, they have a code enforcement officer. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of just significant questions that we're piecing together. I mean, there's a code enforcement officer in Elgin, as far as I know. There's a lot of different ways of dealing with this. And why was it only, you know, a couple months after this amendment that took place that that we are the ones that our mobile vehicles boarded? And again, the big question, and I think the judge was even asking this at the TRO hearing, what is the municipal interest in denying young women free services? You know, is this just regulation for the sake of regulation? The judge gave that caution at the end of the TRO hearing after he granted our motion. He said, in a time of tough economic times for municipalities and everybody, does Elgin really want to be opposing something, a free service? You know, and so we should be talking with TLC. So we hope that conversation can still be had.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a lot of ammunition there because, you know, you have that point. You've got another point that how often does the chief of police personally stop code violations?
It's pretty rare.
You know,
pretty rare, Alan.
And in the last 2 weeks, I've asked some questions, and it's actually made some people in Elgin very uncomfortable. And, you know, they're kind of – and it's funny because they're kind of attacking me, and the reality is that literally, and I want to ask that question, how many times in the past 12 months has the chief of police gone and served a code violation? And no one can answer that question.
I know the answer to that. As a columnist, I know the answer to that question. It's zero.
That's what I believe myself, too. So it's obviously this is, you know, he's motivated by a political.
Yes. When a city councilman calls and asks you to remove something, you do it.
But, you know, it didn't go through the chain of command, didn't go through the council.
Right.
You know, it was a someone that was exercising their power. So what else is going on there? And, you know, I obviously TLC exists. They give out, you know, ultrasounds to young women. I'm a firm believer that, you know, that, you know, the unborn have human rights, and the idea of being able to see your child is a big deal. And I think that's threatening to some people.
I have a question for – I've been looking at two news reports in regards to the lawsuit. One calls it a anti-abortion a Christian organization. That was from the Tribune. The CBS calls it Mobile Pregnancy Services. Do you find – is there bias against your organization, whether either – I've got – I know Terrence or
Well, I mean, do you guys find that there's some bias because of
reporting this event?
I'm an attorney, so in from our sense, we present the facts, but we also present it in a certain way. So I understand from a reporter's angle, they may want to characterize TLC as a Christian charity that provides free services and doesn't make abortion referrals for abortions, but. You know, and then the CBS coverage is a mobile pregnancy service. I mean, ultimately, I think both are true, and it's just which one you want to feature. I mean, the idea behind the mobile pregnancy services is to provide, you know, free pregnancy tests, limited obstetrical ultrasounds, and young women can come on board and receive that, and it's not, you know, and that's what they come and get. So some women need that. Some women come and ask for support. They come afraid, alone. They're young. They don't know what's going on, and they ask for prayer. So I mean, there's kind of a lot wrapped up in it. So there's plenty for a reporter on either side to pick and choose what.
Sure, That's okay. I can see that sometimes. But it's not like you guys are forcing anyone to make a decision or do something or forcing your will on someone.
Absolutely.
These young women are coming to you by their free will, and. You know, I just
may I say something? We recently had a girl come into our center for some baby things. We do provide practical help for these women beside medical services. And so a girl came in the other day for some things that she needed for her baby, but she also wrote a nice little note to us thanking us that we were available on a mobile unit for her. And she said, in her own words, that if we weren't available, she doesn't know what she would have done.
And
they had no place to turn. And she said, the person, the ultrasound technician, our very dedicated person, Jan, said, had talked to the father and calmed him down. And the girl went on to say that this really opened his eyes and softened his heart. And she said, you were there to help me. And she said, otherwise I would have been lost, is, again, what she says. I'm reading her note here and not knowing what to do. These women are very helpful.
Well,
and they're helpful not just to me, but to other young women I've met who've been on the mobile unit, too. So this was her own testimony.
And Vivian, as
kindness to her.
That's a great point. Vivian, as pro-choice as I am, Eric Scheidler of the Pro-Life Action League and I are good friends. And he and I, we'd get into the arguments you might expect from a liberal. But I kept saying, stop beating people's brains in at abortion clinics. Create a competing clinic right near there. Create an option. Create another choice. Open something where these women can, maybe they can go to Planned Parenthood, but maybe they'll come to you. And he actually took me up on it. And in Aurora, they do. I don't know if it's Alan. Do you remember the Maple Leaf Clinic? It's something Leaf Clinic.
Waterleaf.
Well, thank you.
The Waterleaf Clinic.
And you know, I bugged Eric about that for years. I said, stop, winning a battle and losing the war. Start planning on winning the war. So I think whether or not there are religious intentions attached to it, like you said, your mobile units, you're not forcing anyone into them. You're giving them options. I'm firmly, I think there's a place for Planned Parenthood, and I think there's a place for the Waterleaf Clinic.
That's my point. If this was a Planned Parenthood truck, whether it's for Vivian or the attorney, would this be an issue? Would they have been told to leave the school?
Dave, it depends upon which alderman calls.
Well, that's true.
But Vivian, go ahead. You can answer the question.
Would they have
treated Planned Parenthood the same way and a mobile Planned Parenthood unit in Elgin the same way?
Well, I don't know. I haven't got an answer about that. But I kind of wonder, would they have treated Planned Parenthood the same way they treated us, having the police chief come on board and tell our ultrasound technician, who was about a 100-pound woman, to cease and desist? I mean, she was no threat at all.
No.
So.
And by the way, the police chief of Elgin, Jeff Swoboda, he is a good guy. I want to point that out. We are not attacking him. We all have political pressure. And
did you guys have like a pit bull inside the mobile van? That might have explained a lot of it. That might have explained a lot of it.
So, I don't welcome people when they come on board, so nothing like that.
Well, you know, as a pit bull lover, I take exception to that one too. I just don't see the reason before. Actually, I want to direct a question to Noel about the legal, can Elgin legally create zoning that a private property owner can exclude a bus like this from their private property?
Can the private property owner exclude?
The city. Can the city create a zoning that would exclude a service from using? I mean, it's private property. There's someone that pays property taxes, that owns it, that pays the mortgage. You know, what's the point of having a mortgage owning property if the city doesn't let you use it how you want? I mean, do they have in Illinois, do they have a legal ability to take away that property owner's right to use their property how they want?
Well, as a land use attorney, I can tell you that litigates cases like this across the country, I can tell you that zoning is really the next forefront for civil liberties cases, because more and more municipalities are using their zoning code to accomplish ends that zoning and zoning powers were never intended to accomplish. Zoning was really put in place initially to just guard against your usual nuisances,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you wouldn't erect a factory right next to your neighbor's home. But now what's happening is, with all the deference given to zoning and municipal powers, I mean, look what Elgin's doing. Elgin's saying a church can't host a charitable organization which it supports in its mobile facility on certain Tuesday afternoons. I mean, what they're saying is we can regulate all land uses. Well, define a land use.
Well, anything
that happens on land is the way they defined it.
I absolutely agree with you about the zoning, but to be fair, you know, if you and I live in a nice suburban subdivision, I personally wouldn't want my neighbor to host your van in his long driveway. There is some zoning laws are reasonable. However, a mobile van in a church parking lot, big deal. So there are some very good reasons to have these zoning laws because, you know, somebody could set up a catering truck and undermine businesses that actually pay property taxes, remit other taxes. We wouldn't want that in a driveway in a residential area.
I want to jump in, though, because there are cities across the nation, not a lot, but many that do not have zoning laws.
Yes.
Houston, Texas is one. You can build a factory wherever you want. And you know what? The free market works it out. Because who wants to build a factory in the middle of a residential neighborhood that has 25-mile-hour speed limits and can't support semis and things like that? They don't do it. They build it out in the boonies where they have access to highways and they can and things like that. It seems to work its way out. I can understand reasonable limitations that you have industry area here and residential area there, but the idea of just over-regulating and have every little nuance
controlled. But the problem, Alan, is in a mature area like the Chicago suburban area, you don't always have those options to build out in the boonies. You do,
Well, what my concern is that unfortunately a lot of these decisions become political.
Yeah.
And
well,
if you have
to,
like in Chicago, it's not about fair use of land. It's about who's friends with the alderman.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't get your zoning approved unless you're friends with the alderman, and that's wrong. And you know what? That's what's happening here in Elgin.
And to your point, there are competing interests. So obviously, you don't want the mobile vehicle next to your house, but that doesn't mean that they don't have an interest in having it there. It's who's going to be the one that decides whose interest is worthy of protection, and there are laws, especially when you're dealing with free speech, free exercise, constitutional rights, that said, if your neighbor is inconvenienced by that, well, that's an inferior interest. It's an interest that the law recognizes, but it doesn't weigh as heavily on the scale as the constitutional rights of a church to host something like that.
And again, a church parking lot, do I expect to see buses in a church parking lot? Absolutely. That's what happens. So,
we're gonna have to wrap it up, guys. One of the comments I saw on Facebook was, "Hey, the U-46 has a whole load of buses over to property next to us. Why can't you do this in the parking lot here?" Mm-hmm. So we're gonna be wrapping up. Vivian, I just want to give you an opportunity to tell you how people can reach your place online. If they can give donations, and I also saw that you have a Janet Parshall event coming up. I'm actually a big fan of Janet. If you want to mention a couple of things, we'd appreciate that.
We have our annual banquet coming up on April the 25th, a Thursday. It'll be held at Villa Olivia. The seating begins at 6:30. There is no charge for the seats at all, for the dinner tickets. But we hope that as people come and they hear what we're about, that they and hear Janet speak, and she's such an impassioned speaker, but that those who come will want to support our organization, our outreach to women. And that's what we hope our banquet will do, is raise plenty of money so we can keep our doors open this coming year.
And what's your website address, Vivian?
Okay, it's TLCPregnancyServices.com.
Well, that's pretty easy to remember. Yeah. All right, I want to thank both of you for coming on.
Yes, thank you so much.
And I hope for an amicable solution that we don't have to fight this out in the courts, is that common sense will reign. So.
Will prevail.
I also give our telephone number for the banquet as well, if you wouldn't mind, for those who would like to make reservations. Is that possible?
Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. It's the telephone number here is 847-622-1235. And they can ask for either Mary or Kathleen for reservations for the Janet Parshall event.
Great, thank you very much.
And when you talk to Janet Parshall, tell her she owes me money. Just to let
That's Dave, our producer.
One last thing. I just wanted to add, if anybody was interested, the city council will be meeting tonight. So,
all right.
Good point. May join and see what they're talking
about.
Is
there going to be a confrontation with Council Member Moeller?
I don't believe that's on the agenda.
Okay.
At least they didn't.
Just to make it a little more interesting, why don't you put it on the agenda? Yeah. That sounds good.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
And I think we're going to go to break.
Yeah, you're listening to Left, Right, and You on WRMN 1410, 847-931-1410. If you want to get into the conversation, be back right after this.
As a small business owner, I've learned to rely on my vendors, not just for their supplies, but rather for their expertise they have in their field. When it came to providing healthcare solutions for my family and my staff, I needed a company I could trust. That's why I turned to BenefitsAge, the employee benefits specialists. Benefits Age is an independent insurance brokerage that finds coverage for their clients' needs. They took the time to learn what was important to me and my staff and then put together a comprehensive wellness plan, including medical, dental, life, and disability coverage that met our needs. So if you're looking for someone you can trust with the well-being of your family and your staff, call Benefits Age at 800-317-0181. Once again, you can reach Benefits Age at 1-800-317-0181 or online at www.benefitsage.com. If you're anything like me, you get confused by Blu-ray, HD, CD, HD, DVD, USB, MP3. I mean, really, who knows what all these mean? Well, I'll tell you who. Failsafe Media Company does. These guys started out duplicating floppy disks back in 1983, and now are the leaders in electronic media duplication, replication, packaging, and distribution. So if you're looking for an expert who's been there every step of the way, contact Rollo of Failsafe Media at 800-537-1919 or visit him at www.failsafeinc.com. Remember, if you want your electronic media duplication, replication, packaging, and distribution done right, go to Failsafe. Did you know that by raising expectations, you can change the life of a child? That's exactly what Gigi's Playhouse, a Down Syndrome Awareness Center, strives to do. By helping all children and adults reach their highest potential, Gigi's is changing the way the world views Down Syndrome. All of the programs are free and educational in nature. Each of them are designed to work on specific skill development and are run by qualified volunteers. There are 9 Gigi's Playhouses around the nation, 5 in Chicagoland, 1 in New York, 1 in Atlanta, and 2 in Iowa. And more opening soon. On February 26, 2011, there will be a national gala event at each location on the same night. Please go to www.gigisplayhouse.org for more information and to get involved. In today's challenging business climate, payroll, benefits, and loss production are some of the largest expenses facing companies today. Fortunately, Interactive Health Solutions, with their preventive care programs, have a proven track record of reducing healthcare premiums while improving the overall health of your workforce, resulting in cost savings, increased productivity, and a healthier, happier employee. For more information, visit us at www.interactivehealthsolutions.com or by phone at 847-754-2698. Remember, Interactive Health Solutions is your path to a happier, healthier, and more productive employee.
Welcome to Left, Right, and You with liberal columnist Jeff Ward and conservative public policy activist Alan Skillicorn on WRMN 1410. They're talking current events, politics, local, state, and federal. Your phone calls are always welcome at 847-931-1410, 847-931-1410. Now here's Jeff Ward and Alan Skillicorn and Left, Right, and You.
Positive, that's what's going to happen, yeah. Welcome back to Left, Right, and You. Alan Skillicorn, Jeff Ward, back to you.
Welcome back, everyone. And yeah. This is another opportunity to let people know that they have an announcement.
That's right. We're moving to Thursdays.
Ah, you fill right in there. Yep. We're moving to Thursdays.
And I can take this back. Jeff and Alan are getting married.
That's
Yay!
Right.
Yay!
Alan's finally come out of the closet.
I'm already married.
And hey, you know what? I think the last segment was kind of interesting because, I know our listeners love it when we get into it and disagree, but we came at something from completely. I still came at it from a liberal angle. You come at it from a conservative angle, and we still end up in the same place.
Sure. And then I even threw the libertarian about property owners should be able to use their property how they want.
Well, I wouldn't want, you know.
As a property owner,
you haven't lived.
I
next
don't
door
like
to,
the
you
idea.
You got to come live in my neighborhood for a while, Alan. And
you might, live in a nice neighborhood. Yeah, you've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah. In any event, but you know what, I'm all for choice, and you know, I'm pro-choice, and if you want to go to Planned Parenthood, you can go there. If you want to go to TLC, by all means, go there. You know what, it's great to have choices, Alan.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is, Elgin's trying to restrict the freedom
right.
of young women, and I think they're also trying to restrict the freedom of property owners.
And speaking of restricted freedom, it's a great way to segue into the CPAC conference. Where, you know,
do we have time for a really quick conversation? We actually have somebody wants to reply to the last interview.
Oh,
here,
what the heck?
Actually, it's Dave from Elgin has a testimonial regarding TLC. Dave, you're on Left, Right, and You.
Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hello. Hello, guys. Hello, Jeff and Alan. I just wanted to say I really wish that a service like that would have been available for my girlfriend, who became my wife later, before she had gotten an abortion. And I have been living with the pain of that abortion for for 30 plus years. And I've been struggling with that. And if anybody would have told us that that was a baby or a child instead of what we did here, that it was just a lump of flesh or not even that, cells, I would have, today I would be not suffering like I do. And it hurts, and I really wish that we would have seen a mobile unit like that. We would have gone on board, and we would have been told the truth.
Well, and Dave, I'm sorry that you're still feeling that pain. And I want to point out that though I am pro-choice, that doesn't mean pro-abortion. So, yes, I think you're right. The more options people have, the more likely they are to make an informed decision.
Yeah. I know, Jeff, you're feeling guilty, but
No. I think, as you know, Republicans kill themselves on social issues. Less government means stay out of people's uteruses.
Well, we can get into the discussion because it's also less government means that. Well, look at what Milton Friedman says. The freedom for me to wave my fist around interferes with the proximity of your chin. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a real issue, too. I mean, I think that even liberals like to talk about human rights.
Yeah, but Dave makes a good point.
He does make a good point.
There's nothing wrong with
there are personal stories that make a difference.
Sure.
And I think that what you have to say is valid. And it's we don't want to – we're not saying that people should feel guilty about that choice. That's something that, there's a lot of pressure that way.
Right.
There is a council meeting going on. Is that tonight for Elgin?
Yeah.
So are you going to be able to attend, Dave, and maybe make your.
I should. Yes. I'm going to come and I don't know what time it is, but I'll just go there early.
Yeah. It's 7 p.m. I think you have to sign up early to speak.
Yes. Yeah.
And, they limit to a couple minutes, which is appropriate. You don't want someone filibustering for an hour.
Yeah. Like Republicans do.
And it might be a nice little, obviously you're not trying to push anything, but just your experiences and, you sound calm and collected. And I think they'd appreciate – and as someone – I'm also a trustee in East Dundee. I would appreciate, input back from people. And it's just a personal story is great.
Sure. And I've seen the mobile unit around town, and it's just – providing services that I wish there were more of them, or more ways that people could find a place where they can get information. And especially when you're young, like we were 17 years old, and there really wasn't very much that we could go on at that time.
Sure.
And, and especially then you're concerned, really frightened, actually, because my wife was frightened of what her parents might think. But now today, we know what they would think. Would have all welcome to have that child.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for calling in. We hope you make it to the city council meeting tonight. And we
thank
certainly
you.
Appreciate
yes,
your point
appreciate
of view.
Your time.
And thank you for calling into Left, Right, and You, Dave.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jeff and Alan.
I'm really glad Dave called in. It was a touching. It was touching. And if people care about that, I know you can donate to not only TLC, but other organizations that do the same.
And just in fairness, that the people that excoriate Planned Parenthood, I feel the same way. I feel the same way about them, the same way about Ms. Mohler bringing in the chief of police.
Well, I think that the key difference there is that Planned Parenthood is primarily taxpayer-funded.
Well,
they make money on abortions, but they still are subsidized by taxpayers. And
remember, abortion is 3% of what they do. I mean,
Jeff, that is BS, and you can lie all you want.
Oh, after
just
Senator
Kyle
said abortion is 99% of what they do.
It may not be 99%.
Finally, had to admit they weren't.
It's not. It may not be 99.
Said the statement was not intended as a truthful statement.
I know Jeff loves to talk over people, not allow them to reply. But the reality is, the majority of Planned Parenthood offices do nothing but perform abortions.
No, they perform all sorts
you
of.
You love to lie about that.
Screenings, all sorts.
How many of them have mammograms? It's something like 20% of Planned Parenthoods can perform mammograms. It's a lie. It's a liberal lie, and you're going to keep on going for it, and that's fine. You can do it, but our listeners know better.
You know, but
all right, listeners,
but
our listeners know better.
I am going to take the high ground. I mean, how many liberals would go to a well-known anti-abortion activist and say, tell you what, create an option. Don't sit there and show your science and whatnot at a Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. Create a give choice. And he did it.
You know, we can get into this debate because this is a fun debate to have. You know, you mentioned earlier that, small government should get out of the uterus. But right. The reality is that
and
the
I mean that
most
by
important
the way.
Role of government is to protect human rights. You know, it's to protect the rights of people.
Right.
Unborn children, I believe, should have human rights. And I think it's appropriate, it's open-minded for civilized people to have that discussion when human rights begin. I mean, we all agree mm-hmm. that you cannot hurt someone else. You cannot, take a life away from someone, okay? So just because a doctor signs a birth certificate, does that mean human rights began in that second? Or did they begin 30 seconds or 5 minutes ago, a day or 6 months ago?
But while I understand your viewpoint, Alan, much like Milton Friedman's fist and face analogy, which is a very good one, I cannot sanction telling a woman what to do with her body. I want to create a planet on which abortion no longer becomes necessary.
I can understand that.
But the baby's rights.
But it's also illegal to take someone's life in like a murder. You cannot murder someone.
But the problem is
the government gets involved there. And I'm not saying that you need to have stormtroopers come into doctors' offices and mm-hmm. such. But the idea that we can't have this the civil discussion. Is the opposite of being a civilized society.
Well, and I agree. And we are having a civilized discussion.
Yeah.
And I love what can you remember what Eric Scheidler's group is? I forget. This is really going to kill me.
The Pro-Life Action League.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank
yeah.
you. The Pro-Life Action League. You know, I mean, I'm thrilled that Eric and I could have that civilized discussion. He could listen to something mm-hmm. I said and act on it. I was pretty.
Sure. His dad, Joe Scheidler.
Yeah,
the,
Joe. But Joe's a little wackier. I have a little more trouble with Joe. Eric, I'm fine with. And in this case, we have the intersection of two sets of rights here.
Mm-hmm.
And you have.
Well, I think it is. You mentioned that they have a they offer an alternate service.
Right.
And I'm fairly familiar with. There's a group up in McHenry County, Patriots United, and I know that. Irene Napier is part of that. I think she's part of the Illinois Right for Life League or something. Mm-hmm. I don't remember all the names because I just know the people. But then there's also a Bonnie Quirk. One of their big things is raising money for ultrasound units. And I think mm-hmm. they've raised like $60,000 last year. And to give women the opportunity to see that, hey, that isn't – I remember, I'm young enough that I was born after Roe v. Wade. And I think that the current generation of young people also realize that. So it's a bigger issue. Before that, everyone did believe it was a lump of cells. Well, science has moved on, and we know that it's more than a lump of cells. I mean, it only takes a couple of weeks before you have brain waves.
Right. And you know what? And again, I love these mobile units. I think they're a great thing. Where I draw the line is when states attempt to force the woman to do an ultrasound before she can have an abortion. That I have a problem with. You know what? Let's have choice. I want TLCs.
Well, you know what? I want to go down that avenue because there are ability to do ultrasounds without an invasive procedure. And there's people, you can...
Ultrasound is not at all an invasive procedure.
Well, there's some people... There are some that are.
Okay.
There are some that are...
Most I've seen are
and
not.
And I've seen people on the left side of the argument saying you want to, basically go inside the woman and do the ultrasound. Mm-hmm. And... There are certain situations where that is the case, and I'm not a doctor, and I'm not gonna fall into Joe Walsh's trap.
You know, I've actually had ultrasound.
I didn't know. Not even showing.
Ultrasound, when I have serious runner's injuries, which thankfully I haven't had in ages, ultrasound is a cure.
By the way, we have a list. We had a listener who wanted me to quote, thinks that Alan do a little more research regarding Planned Parenthood, thinks that Jeff is more close to the truth. Regarding Planned Parenthood and the
yes.
in regards to the abortions.
Yes.
Go right ahead. Is it 3% or is
that's
it more?
Okay. Yeah, she could not stay on the air stay on the line.
I'll be happy to look it up, but
I will look it up too, but I've written about
it. The last time I saw a statistic was in specific mammograms. Mm-hmm. It was something like 20 or 30% of the facilities.
But again, what the listener was talking about, Alan, was
I understand.
Abortions.
Well, but I was just answering the misconception that they provide our services and I still stand by what I said. It's primarily false that they provide other things, maybe to a certain percentage, but not even in double digits.
The abortions is a very small portion of what they do.
I don't think the numbers can even get close
and,
to that.
Well, but back to our point, you know, again, when a state says, a state capital says you have to have an ultrasound before you choose to have an abortion, I'm as opposed to that as Elgin booting a mobile sonogram unit because they don't give you that choice. They're the two sides of the same bad coin. You know what? We cannot, you know, less government means not forcing people to take certain actions. And I want a woman, I would love a woman to come right, walk right up the street, Planned Parenthood one side, Waterleaf Clinic on the other, and be allowed to make her choice.
Not at taxpayer expense. And never at taxpayer expense.
By the way, that's a minor detail. But
No, that's not a minor detail. But
let's say some private thing that does what plan abortion.
And that's a possibility. But
I want the options there.
But here's the other issue is that I don't get how the medical profession stands by it. And I actually think it's a money issue. It's a moneymaker for these clinics. And I don't understand why, you go get your MD and you take the oath. I don't see how
do no harm.
Yeah, I don't see how that the oath is compatible with that service.
But again, you're coming from a more conservative perspective. Again, what I'm saying is we've got the
Don't forget, I'm a diehard libertarian, but I understand that human rights trump the other issues.
But and my yes, you're right.
Why do you always bring up Trump?
Yeah, I don't understand. But the human right in this case is I do not believe the government can force a woman, could or should, to carry a child to term.
So a child 60 seconds before birth doesn't have human rights?
It's hard to say.
I know that's a very black and white.
But now you're getting into angels on the head of a pin argument. I mean, and most I'm not that aversive to, third trimester, no. If you haven't decided by that time, it's too late. Unless it is to save the mother's life.
I can remember having this discussion once, and we were talking about viable children. Like, we were talking about specifically late term. But, you can have a child that is conceived and 5 months later, through tragedy or whatever, has to be delivered.
Right.
Okay? And a lot of times those are viable children.
Mm-hmm.
And those are human beings. And that's why the late term is so abhorrent.
Right.
And that's a big deal.
And that's illegal in most states in this. And, I'm talking...
Well, people that are on the extreme are saying that you should be able to do that. Well, President Obama believes that.
I think we need to be honest.
You voted for him.
I did. And I'd probably vote for him again. But I think, if we're going to get out again, we could get into an argument, which is the mother's rights more important? Is the child's rights more important? I finally come down with, I cannot tell a woman what to do. It's
well,
that
I don't find them that they're that's conflicting. Mm-hmm. Because, and here's my analogy. If you have a police officer, better yet, a firefighter, and they have to run into a building that's falling down and there's two people trapped there and he knows he can only carry one out. Do we call the firefighter a murderer for only pulling one person out? Mm-hmm. We still call him a hero.
Right.
And, the idea that, let's say a mother's life is in danger, a doctor can make an informed decision and go, I'm not going to get into how rare it is or anything like that. If there's a situation where, artery or something like that, I can understand a doctor making a hard decision and going, we're going to save one life here. And I can also see, obviously the adult woman is more viable than a child that also could have the whole if it's a fallopian pregnancy or something like that. There's complex stuff. But again, the firefighter is not going to be criticized for saving a person.
Yeah, but I could use the same argument too. That can we criticize the mother for deciding this isn't best for her? This is something.
Well, I'm talking about medical situation.
What if the mother? I'm throwing this out, and I know we've got about 2 minutes left here. What if the mother decides? You know what? The pregnancy is risky, but I'd rather have the child live than me. And what if the doctor refuses?
You go to see a doctor. Yeah, it's really that easy.
Yeah. There's a good friend of mine that, I guess they had trouble getting pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then something happened. They were able to get pregnant a couple times. And then on their last child, the doctor said, this and this is an indicator. You should have a test if we should abort or not. And they changed doctors.
Right. And choice. And I also think, and we can't get into this right now as we're wrapping things up, the very first column I wrote for the Kane County Chronicle as a guest view was that part of the, Republicans only love children until they're born. And I think if we made it easier for, mothers to, in stressful situations, to get the kind of support they need, there'll be less abortions.
Well, luckily we're coming back Thursday, so yeah, I have a full hour to, because
we still got to get to Sarah.
It's kind of a silly, you know, it's a very over the top Bill Maher type of thing.
Yeah.
But what I remind people is that Thursday we're going to be on, so we're twice on this week.
Right.
Calling in Thursday is going to be Brian Costin from the LA Policy Institute. We're going to be talking about the pension scam here in Illinois
and CPAC. Transparency. We got to get to
CPAC. We can talk about CPAC. Charlie Kirk's coming on in a couple weeks. So we have great shows lined up.
Can I suggest also trying to get Janet Parshall on to talk about the banquet?
Okay.
She's wonderful. If you talk about any regarding
yes,
abortion.
Yes, she's on competing radio stations, though.
Yeah.
So even though I like her.
She's not competing with us.
By the way, www.thefirstword.net. The show will be up at about 6
and
o'clock.
And alanskillicorn.com if you don't like Jeff's drivel.
Yeah, which, of course, you all do. Thanks for listening.
Wake up the right way with the WRMN Wake Up Call, weekday mornings from 6 to 8 on AM 1410 WRMN.